Impro Mafia presents And Time!
Welcome to And Time, a podcast for improvisers and aspiring improvisers. I'm Dan Beeston, Impro Mafia's resident tech guy and designer.
And I'm Luke Allen, aka Big Sexy, a long-term player and member of the Sexy Detective sketch comedy show.
Welcome, Luke. So, what's been going on in the week of Impro?
Well, funny you should say that, Dan, because I think you know better than I.
Yes, you haven't done any Impro for ages.
Ages, probably.
Where have you been?
I had a family function on for the last show. I had...
Family?
Yes.
Impro is an excuse to get away from that, surely.
I had no choice, Dan.
Yeah, well. Mind you, I didn't turn up to the last one either.
Oh. So, weren't you emceeing?
Family thing.
Oh, okay.
What have I been up to? The big news is that finally tickets for the Off the Cuff Festival are available.
Fantastic.
On the Powerhouse website.
And they're reasonably priced, Dan?
Reasonably priced. Why, they're a steal.
Oh.
And in the last podcast, Natalie mentioned that there was a single typo, an apostrophe missing. So those cards are available now. So if our listeners track down one of those cards and find one of those apostrophes, they will be a winner of some sort of ethical prize. And if you're looking carefully at that, you may also notice that where it's supposed to say July, it actually says June on every single one of 3,000 postcards.
Who proofread that, Dan?
Well, that's the thing. There was no proofreader.
Uh-huh.
There was one person who did all of the text, and they sent it to me, the designer.
Right, right.
And I did the design and pasted everything in. Not really my job to proofread, but it was checked by myself and by Wade and by Nat. We all looked, we sent them in, we realised there was a typo, we paid an extra $11, we had the price fixed. As Nat pointed out, we missed the apostrophe and the date. So the front has the 18th to the 20th of July, the back has the 18th to the 20th of July, and then each show description has the 18th, 19th, and 20th of June. This is incorrect. So look at the front of the card is the best advice I can give you. Now, the other big news is that on Sunday I went along and did a workshop with Colin Smith, who's been doing improv for 14 years or something.
Wow.
And he hasn't been doing a lot of stuff recently. He used to do a lot of stuff with Edge, but has been involved with the Shakespearean company doing real theatre because he's better than us, apparently. But he's doing a film, and he's not sure whether it's going to be a short film or a full-length film, but he's a bit of a fan of the Spinal Tap guys.
Oh, okay, so the Waiting for Guffman and those other films.
The Blown in the Wind.
Oh, what is it?
Mighty Wind. Yeah. I loved that film. But all those films are improvised.
Mm.
So they sort of get all the players together and they just let them go in front of the camera and then they edit it together into what will hopefully pass for entertainment.
Some are better than others, if I remember correctly.
Mm. I think Before Sunrise did a lot of that too. And it was boring.
That was
batshit.
Dog-awful. Dog-awful, that one.
Oh. And then they made a sequel.
I loved it.
So Colin's got a big plan, and I can't say too much because it's all under wraps at the moment, but we got to go in and create characters for ourselves. And there's only three improvisers involved, and the rest of them... It's a film about tabletop gaming. So all the other people were people who know heaps of stuff about tabletop gaming, not a lot about impro, but they know the stereotypes so well that when they were doing stuff in front of the camera, they were equally as funny as the improvisers when they were doing stuff. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
I think it should be good.
We'll be going into Gen Con on Saturday, which is apparently a big gaming festival. And just filming.
I think your nerd is showing, Dan.
Yeah. I'm trying to sort of say, I think it might be some sort of gaming. I really don't know. I was at the footy. So we'll be in there just videoing ourselves, interacting with each other and... maybe even other guests. We'll see how that goes. But I'm really excited. I was a bit anxious about it beforehand, but after doing the character development, I'm like, this is going to be heaps of fun. This episode's topic is on nerves before a show and preparation before a show.
Mm.
This is a topic that I chose especially for you, Luke.
You do?
Because you tend to be the most nervous and flighty of all of the players.
I do, don't I?
And you've been doing it for a while now.
I've been doing it for 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
That's not really that long.
It's not that long. It feels longer.
Mm. Mostly because you turned up while we had all been doing it for 6 years, but we're still crap.
Yeah.
And then everyone got better at the same time.
Things had just stopped at the Pig and Whistle.
Yep.
And then I started shortly after you guys started at Hotel LA.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I came aboard. So that was 2004.
Mm, that's not very long ago at all.
No.
You're a rookie.
Well, I did win Rookie of the Year 2004.
Oh, well, there you go.
There was no competition in 2004.
No, there hasn't been any competition for Rookie of the Year for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
But hopefully that'll change with the training.
Did you see the rookie show?
We were in it.
We were.
I was in it. And you were in it.
I was in it. We were in it together.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you edit that?
We're in toes.
You were at the rookie show, weren't you, Dan?
I was. I had lots of fun.
I was blown away by how good they were.
There's a lot of talent in there.
They would, from what I was... understand from talking away, they were taught the basics of improv rather than the games and the game structure.
Yeah.
And then on that night, that was the first time they'd actually played those games.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came together so well.
Yeah.
Like there was I can't think of their names, but there was like four or five people that had real talent there, you know, that I'd really like to see develop in a rookie show and then make it to the main stage or the main show or one of our shows that we do.
Now, I should pull you up. Nat is very adamant that we don't call them rookies.
Oh, okay.
She's adamant we call them beginners.
Beginners.
Mm. And I'm pretty adamant we call them shit kickers.
What's wrong with rookie, though?
I don't know. Nat seems to have this feeling that there's a sort of sense of subjugation.
Mm.
Like, we're like proper improvisers and they're just rookies. But I think rookie is a great name for someone who's just beginning
at
something.
Exactly, it describes it perfectly.
It's like in Top Gun. That was the first I ever heard of the word rookie.
Yeah.
Was like a new guy in a fighter jet, Nat. A fighter jet. So, but apparently beginners is more descriptive. We need a word for someone who doesn't get any better, even though they've been there for 6-7 years at a time. You're about to say someone's name, weren't you? That's right. Don't censor yourself. That's up to me to censor you later. Which I may or may not
do. No, because you guys had a dig at the Sexy Detective crew in episode one, so I know how this works.
I don't know whether that...
That made it to air.
I don't think that must have been another podcast you were listening to.
Confused.
Did you guys lose your website?
We did. We did. We lost it to squatters, so we had to register the...
Why did you let it go?
Well, no. Here was the thing. It was the Sexy Detective crew had a couple of personnel changes, and the people who registered the domain...
Were reminded...
Well, it was an old account that they never checked anymore. So I'm sure the emails were sent. They just didn't have the account details. So we waited for it to lapse, thinking that we were able to get it straight away.
Oops.
And we didn't.
Yeah.
So we had to register...
TheSexyDetective.com.
Which actually I pushed for originally anyway.
Oh, nice.
Because whenever we refer to the show, it's always...
Were you the squatter?
I'm holding Mike and Dave to ransom. But, I mean, we always refer to it as the Sexy Detective or, you know, Sexy D, so it just made sense.
Yeah. Mm. Now, we've gone off topic already. Yeah. Nerves before a show.
Yes.
Now, you tend to be quite anxious before shows.
Yes.
In fact, I've known you to turn up to warm up. Excuse me, I just got to duck off and vomit.
And throw up.
And throw up.
Yes.
You've been doing this for a while now. Are you really get that nervous before shows?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely changed from when I started.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself in terms of just not stinking up the stage and making sure that I was going to be there for the other players and that kind of stuff. So after the shows, I used to beat myself up a lot. But before the shows, I don't think I was ever that nervous. And then having done it for a couple of years, it's changed where I now don't beat myself up after a show because there's no point, you know.
Yeah.
What's done is done. But before the show, I think I have so much energy going into it that it just tends to come out in vomit.
What are you doing? I'm venting.
I'm so excited.
I remember when I first started and I was always a bundle of nerves before a show, like just buzzing.
Probably the first year, I would apologize. If I had a bad scene with someone, I would apologize to them. As if it was all my fault and that what we actually did mattered for, you know, that what we do is ephemeral.
It doesn't feel very transient
when you step off the stage.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very transient when you first start. Though.
No,
you're like, oh god, I've done three shows now, and I've been responsible for like six fuck ups throughout them. That's like heaps.
They're going to remember. It's going to be they must think I'm crap. But now I think it is. And just to correct you, I only throw up when I have Red Bull. If I have Red Bull before a show, I will throw up. That's a guarantee.
Okay. Do you continue to drink Red Bull before
I do.
Shows?
I need the energy.
Oh, yeah. Dear. See, now that's another thing I wanted to discuss, because different people prepare for shows in different ways.
Mm.
And most people tend to judge me in my preparation for shows, which involves an entire dietary regime across the day of making sure I've got plenty of vitamin B in the morning, plenty of protein for brain energy in the day, and then carbo in the evening, and then no dinner beforehand, and then only drinking water until the end of the show.
Yeah.
Now, some people would say that this is a little bit too regimented.
I'm one of those people.
For something so ephemeral and supposed to be fun as improv. But I think it's... These are my tools that I'm keeping in pristine condition.
These are, but surely there's been nights where you've been called on to play, where you didn't think you were playing that night, so didn't put in the effort, so you didn't have your structured meals.
Yep, asked them, fucked them up. You just played like shit, got off and went, I should have baked beans before the show.
But see, I've seen you play like that when you have had baked beans before a show. Dan.
Ah, personal insults now. I invite you on to End Time, and this is what I get.
But I think it does come down to people's warm-ups are people's warm-ups. I have to go through a certain physical warm-up that I do. You might see me jumping around occasionally. That's separate to our physical warm-up that we do as a group.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do certain movements myself that I just do kind of like, I guess it's like a professional sportsman. They need to wear their lucky socks, or they need to touch the doorway on their way out to the field or whatever it is. I have to do a certain thing to get my mind right for a show, if that makes sense.
So is it a very specific action, or is it a certain combination of warm-up activities?
It's jogging on the spot.
Oh, yep.
Yep. So it's the jogging on the spot with a blank stare on my face. But that's just getting me into the mindset.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we went down to Canberra last year,
Dave,
Wade, and myself.
Yep.
That and last year's Brisbane Impro Fest were, I guess, my first exposure to other impro groups. Not only how they play impro, but how they warm up before a show.
Mm-hmm.
And the Impro Mafia is one of the more structured warm-ups.
It's the only one.
It's the only one, actually, yeah.
There was structured warm-ups for the rookies back at the Hub Cafe and a little bit with the Pro-Am shows there. But no one does a warm-up that starts like the half an hour before the show. And no one does vocal warm-ups. And admittedly, no one else has had to perform in pubs for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's where the vocal warm-ups came in handy. But yeah, when I went down to Melbourne, they were this major
show. It was very
loosey-goosey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, well, we'll just, you ready for this? And, no, not really. Do you want to do a word at a time? Oh, I wouldn't mind doing, 10 minutes of physical exercise, 10 minutes of vocal warm-up, and then some focus exercises.
But did you find, though, that you were so used to a certain warm-up that when you were outside that situation, the warm-up was almost revealed to be just a crutch that you use to get to how you want to be in impro, if that makes sense?
This could be very true. I have a couple of things that I really like to do from our warm-ups that I really benefit.
And I'm not taking away anything from the warm-up. Like I definitely think that in the venues that we play, vocal warm-up is just common sense.
Mm.
And a light physical warm-up
will stop you injuring yourself on stage.
Yeah, but
at our age,
doesn't necessarily need to be as structured as we do it. Although I think that that's been beneficial for the Impro Mafia.
Well, I think that the best thing about such a structured warm-up is that there are elements in it that are just really silly, or the fact that it's so structured and it forces everyone to be a part of it gets a sort of a team atmosphere and a bonding that you'd have to get a different way if you didn't do it that way.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Not to let people think that we have a very regimented warm-up. Like, we do sour face, lion face as a warm-up exercise.
But we always do it. That's what regimented means.
Yeah, but
it is regimented.
It's regimented.
It's regimented silliness.
In a silly way.
Funnily enough, I could probably pass on most of the stuff. I mean, I love the vocal warm-up, but I could pass on them all, but I don't like to miss out on doing red leather, red lorry, yellow lorry. Like, that tongue twister especially helps me loosen up whatever's wrong with my tongue before a show, because my biggest weakness on stage is that I can't ramble and speak lots and quickly and get the words out properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll tend to see me do it, making use of pause and timing to bring a certain atmosphere to the stage. mostly because I can't do the other thing that everyone else does. So I find that if I don't do red leather, the yellow leather, I'm all just over the shop. I'm up on stage going, that job with the habits and the women who don't have sex, you know. Nuns, Dan. Yes, that's them. Red leather, yellow leather, red lorry, yellow lorry.
I definitely think that the vocal warm-up, I think, is incredibly beneficial, particularly because we play in pubs. Well, for the last 4 years, 95% of the shows have been in pubs.
Not anymore, though.
Not anymore.
Hey, we're moving up in the world.
Two theatre shows. But we needed to ensure that our players could project and wouldn't strain themselves. And so the vocal warm-up was a very important part of the show. For me, though, as you said, you enjoy that red leather, red leather, yellow leather. Red lorry, yellow lorry. You enjoy the tongue twister. For me, I need to stretch my triceps. I don't know why.
Okay. The other thing I do is, and this is just to diffuse anxiousness before I go on stage, is that almost always the MC will go, is there anyone in the room who hasn't done improv before?
And everyone.
And all the players. I always put my hand up.
I always put my hand up.
Yeah. And it's the dumbest joke. And if you've seen anyone do it twice, it's not funny.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it just relaxes me. It puts me into this zen state, going, this is the worst joke I can make tonight.
There's always someone in the audience who hasn't seen the players do it, and they just it's like, oh, we're in for a good show. There was two things I used to do. I still do that jogging in the spot kind of boxer stance before the show. And I used to, when we were at O'Malley's, right before we'd get on stage, I used to turn to whoever was next to me and say, let's fuck this puppy. We can
bleep that, we don't need to.
Yeah,
I've got what's known as an explicit tag.
Oh, so I used to turn to whoever was
Yes.
So let's fuck this puppy, and then we go on stage. And as I've gone through the years, I've matured, and I no longer need to say let's fuck this puppy to actually have a good show. So I'm hoping that at some point I can drop these other quirks and just play improv in the mindset of playing improv.
I always know that I'm in for an exciting show when we do the do-do run-run, which is a very common beginning game for the show. But sometimes it does unsettle me. And so I'm on stage and my heart starts racing. And it's not that often, but if it does, and even if I get out really quickly, I'm like, this is going to be a fun show because I'm not quite comfortable. And that's where you want to be in an improv show. It's not comfortable because then you're going to start having to do odd things.
Do you find if you have a good warm-up, but the group's warm-up is a little bit looser, do you think that impacts on your energy in performing?
No, not me. I can see that sometimes it does on a lot of other people, but I tend to sustain myself on my own energy. And so I tend to be the one who's really firing when everyone else is like...
struggling and...
Although not so much anymore, but back at O'Malley's, I remember we'd do stuff and we're like, oh, how are people feeling tonight? And someone would be like, oh, I'm all right. I'll just be like, you know, passenger tonight. And everyone's like, oh, well, I'm going to be a passenger too. I'm feeling all right.
I'm going to hitch my wagon to your star.
Dan, how are you going? Oh, yeah, going to get some improv. But not so much anymore. Everyone's sort of hitting their stride.
Well, everyone's
bringing the game.
Everyone's had 2 or 3 years more experience since at O'Malley's. I think it's almost gotten to the point where even if a warm-up doesn't go too well, we can still put on a good show.
Yeah.
It's gotten a bit workmanlike in a way whereby you can still hit certain highs. The audience will go away enjoying the show. And you as an improviser just might be like, oh, well, there's always next week. That's a feeling I get sometimes. That the creative spark might not always be there. But we've got enough experience collectively where we can put on a good show regardless.
Are there any other players who, you know, have sort of their specific warm-up procedures?
Dave does the Massingham.
The Massingham.
Yeah.
The pelvic swivel.
Mike Skills likes to bitch about pop culture, whatever he's seen recently. We used to have a player whose warm-up was 2 beers before a show.
Who was that?
That was me.
All right. We actually had to put a moratorium on that, didn't we? We had to have a one drink before the show maximum.
Yeah, and then no drinking during the show.
Basically, if you weren't able to drive, you weren't able to do improv. So
harsh.
Yeah, and we had to throw a couple of people out in the middle of shows when they sort of sneaked off and had a couple of shots for their nerves.
Yes.
What other players have weird... Oh, I know that Lauren has a weird stretch.
Lauren collapses herself in half.
She folds herself over, sticks her ass in the air, and presses herself... She looks like she's about to shrink down into a suitcase.
Yes. Her head almost touches her feet.
Mm.
That's bizarre, but it works for her.
And some of the single improvisers.
Yeah, she gets a very good response from somebody.
Now, you guys are the smokers.
Actually, no, this is, I quit smoking 3 days ago.
3 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you quit last time I saw
you as
well?
Yeah, for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting anxious?
it's awful at the moment, yeah.
Ah, you guys used to smoke a lot at the show. Was smoking a part of your wind down, or just you're addicted to smoke?
Smoking was more of an after show, settling in and talking about the show and reflecting on the show. It was never really a part of the warm-up. We're never at the back of O'Malley's, you know, sucking down cigarettes and
red leather
vocal exercises.
Leather yellow.
What would you like to see in a warm-up?
Basically, all I want to see in a warm-up is for everyone to be ready to warm up a half hour before the show.
Yeah.
And as you guys have made fun of on numerous occasions, I tend to be the guy who wanders out at 7:31 looking anxious.
You're like a nana trying to get everyone into church on time. You know, I think the warm-up is important, not just for a vocal warm-up or a physical warm-up, but in getting the energy of the show right before a show, for getting the players comfortable with whoever's playing that night. I think particularly as a rookie, when I started out, there were times when we had 10 people or 11 people on stage, and having that group warm-up allowed me to become comfortable with these people before hitting the stage. So I quite enjoyed that aspect of it, where I think if it was just a matter of standing around before you went on to the stage, that might be a little bit off-putting for the rookies or anyone new to the Impro Mafia, regardless of how long they play.
Yeah.
Anyone new to Impro Mafia.
I really like the warm-ups because we tend to do our stupidest stuff in it. And so once you do something really silly and embarrassing there, anything you do on stage is not going to be as bad.
And it also allows you to get a lot of awful ideas out before you get on stage. That's what I like in a warm-up. I like it when it goes a bit crazy and a bit off the rails, because you get the energy up, but you know that what you're saying is never going to be, you know, suitable for mass consumption. This is purely for something that improvisers will enjoy.
So we get out all the animal sex jokes.
Yes. But you'd never do that on the main stage.
No.
But you know that.
Or you occasionally do.
You occasionally do.
Or that is to say, you occasionally do. But well, how does our warm-up go? Basically, we do a loose physical warm-up.
Very loose physical warm-up.
For the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
Stretching.
Stretches.
There used to be a time back at the hub where everyone would go, all right, now we'll do this stretch. And everyone would do this stretch where they sort of point their knee one way. And then everyone would do a stretch with their arm up high and then out this way. And it was basically teaching people
how to
stretch.
I like how you were showing me the stretch even though we're doing a podcast.
What's your point?
Well, I'm just doing a stretch now, Dan.
That's it. Well, at any rate, nowadays, we know ourselves enough and can trust each other enough to actually do the stretches we need to do.
Yeah.
And people need to focus on different parts, and everyone knows how they want to stretch.
Yeah.
So once that's done, then we do a vocal warm-up, which is really...
Well, we also, before we move on to the vocal warm-up, I guess to describe the stretch we do try to go from head to tail. So we'll do, you know, stretching those body parts on the way down.
Yeah.
It's very anal out now. It is very structured, isn't it?
It is very anal warm-up.
It works. I enjoy it.
And also while we're stretching, we discuss shit.
Yeah, talk shit.
Shoot the breeze. But then we go into the vocal warm-up, which is very specific and probably will be the subject of an actual specific podcast at some point. And that never deviates.
No.
It's extremely structured. And then we do some sort of warm-up game to get our minds on track, some sort of focus exercise. Like Big Booty or any theatre game that when you were in high school you thought was completely lame and is now...
We do.
Yeah, which we do.
We
are. For fun. And that's where we get at all our horrible ideas.
I wouldn't mind actually some variation in the vocal warm-up.
Oh, okay.
Because I particularly find with the tongue twisters, we have basically gotten to the point now where we know them by rote.
Yeah.
So we can do them perfectly, but we're not benefiting from that?
Well, we are benefiting from so far as warming up our lips.
Yes.
But we're not benefiting so far as warming up our brains.
Yes.
So, but then, like, there are certain tongue twisters, like Mrs. Puggy Wuggy's rough cut punt, which is just basically for the rudeness. And it doesn't tend to warm up the right phenomes that your mouth, like the mouth shapes.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't do it.
I also find that because we're so used to it, it doesn't put the stress on the mouth and the lips and the tongue.
No, right.
That when you first see a rookie come on or someone who's never done...
They're all over the shop.
Yeah, they're all over the shop. But they really go through the motions in trying to get their mouth to do what it should be doing. And because we know them off by heart, it might be pitch perfect, but it's not the workout that the mouth needs.
So we need to move from red leather, yellow leather, red lorry, yellow lorry to red leather lorry, yellow leather lorry.
Just mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. You know the tongue twister we do, big bad bears bleed blue blood. Nat introduced me to a new one, which I think is the original one, because it's much better, which is big bold bears bleed blue blood. And that's really hard to do.
Oh, because of the old on the blood.
Yes.
There's some more L's and vowels in there.
Indeed.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that from now on when I'm running stuff. And then we get to the end, and we all put our hands in a circle.
And we
call out Genghis Khan.
Where did that come from?
Mongolia.
No, I know where Genghis Khan came from. Where did that come from in terms of our finishing off, finalizing our warm-up?
We were doing that, just a basic sort of sports hands in the middle, then throwing our hands up in the air thing at O'Malley's. But we didn't just make any decision about what to call out. And everyone was just making shit up because they're improvisers. And it quite organically just occurred progressively over a couple of weeks where people were going... Yeah, Genghis Khan.
Because I think I must have been away or not playing the 1 week that it actually came about. Because it did go from being a hodgepodge of just yell out whatever you want to being Genghis Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have missed that crossover period. Because I said Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan.
My first time.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
thinking that it was a Star Trek reference.
But occasionally I end up in a venue. There's nowhere to do any warm-up and you just have to hit the stage cold.
Yep.
And generally, those suck. But then generally, they're venues that aren't good either.
Yeah, generally, if you don't have any time or any place to do a warm-up, it's not going to be the greatest
Well, where have I done them? I've done a warm-up in the parking lot of the hub.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were doing warm-ups outside at the Pig and Whistle. Mm-hmm. That was before you turned up.
Yep.
And that was where we were playing the game Big Booty, which basically there's a sort of chanting, counting game. But at the beginning of each round, you go, ah, shit, big booty, big booty, big booty, uh-huh. And this is what we did, because this is how we were taught it. And a fellow came across the road from a church and said, is it okay if that group of 14 people don't all call out, oh, shit, at the same time? And so from then on, whenever we do big booty, everyone in Imprimafia does, oh, yeah, which I forget about, and then I'm always reminded of when I do it with any other improv group, because they're all foul-mouthed people.
Yeah, awful.
Foul-mouthed cunts. How dare they? So that was a final pit for rehearsing. And then we were at the Hotel LA where you turned up.
Yeah, that was in the parking.
In the parking lot as well.
That as well.
And it was a nasty little
parking lot. Parking lot is generous. You know, it wasn't really a parking lot. It was like...
a gravel pit.
Yeah, it really was.
And that sort of reflected on some of the shows there.
That was, you know, you'd start a warm-up and you'd have to move because a car was coming into park. And then you'd continue your warm-up after that car had parked.
And that was where our warm-ups were getting shorter and shorter too.
Yeah.
We'd start warming up 10 minutes before the show and then we'd get on stage 5 minutes after we were supposed to, and it was just a debacle. And it was after then. Then we went to O'Malley's, and that was our professional show, because we had O'Malley's and we had another show that everyone was supposed to play in.
At Hotel Melbourne.
Yeah. And the O'Malley show was where we went, all right, we definitely have to start our warm-up at 7:30 and then hit the stage at 8 o'clock because it's professional.
Yeah.
And no other improvisers in impro troops in Queensland seem to do it. But we do it. That's right. I'm talking to you, other generic Brisbane impro company. Maybe I should cut that out.
Maybe edit that part.
Okay. But then we're in the back hallway of O'Malley's, which was okay when the cess pumps were working properly. And then sometimes they weren't, and you could smell the waste products from the pub.
The space we had at Hotel Melbourne, I remember, is not too bad.
Well, it was a huge ballroom, basically.
You had enough space, you were away from crowd and noise, and could kind of just focus on the warm-up. Pity the venue itself was...
Oh, well, the venue. We had to move the pool table out of the way to perform. The first couple of weeks were nightmarish, but then we really nabbed the crowd. People started turning up for watches, and then people were being shushed when they come to the bar. I'd like a beer and, hey, sorry, I'll have a beer and two Midoris. But then, of course, the Hotel Melbourne got knocked down.
Oh, okay. I always thought we got the arse.
No. Well, they said that we were welcome back when they did when renovations were finished, and then they basically dug an entire block out and put a hotel there. So I don't know what happened. So maybe we should follow that up, put on a rookie show there. So, yeah, we were at O'Malley's for a while, and then we went to the tea bar upstairs from Stones Corner. And that's actually, that was a nice area for doing, because we go upstairs to the staff area and then out to a little veranda up there.
You missed out on, there was, what was that little place called near the milk?
The Pie High?
The Pie High. Oh, there was a handful of more than a handful of shows, actually, at the Pie High.
There was an arseful of shows at the Pie High.
I can honestly say the worst shows that I've been involved in were at the Pie High. Not from a playing perspective, but just from the audience being hostile.
The audience, it wasn't even the audience. Like I remember being out the back and warming up and doing some of our chanting games and stuff. And someone from a neighbouring building stuck their head out the window. I was like, hey, shut the fuck up! And you're like, ooh, okay, well, that's enough vocal warm-up. And that was an awful warm-up area.
Mm.
But yes, so then, where we go? So then to Stones Corner.
Then to Stones Corner.
Which was a really nice one. And now we're at the Brisbane Arts Theatre up on Petrie Terrace, Jubilee Terrace. I never remember what it is.
Let's say Petrie.
Petrie. So, and that's got a night. That's got two warm-up areas, actually. It's got a little shed next door for rehearsals. And then there's a downstairs area which is good too. And the stage door, which doesn't have a great warm-up area.
I haven't played at the stage door yet.
It's got a little backstage area, but it's tiny and it's right near the audience. So if you're doing chanting games before the show, they can hear you. So you really have to closet yourself away in the little rooms in like groups of three.
That's another thing that I've always thought, in that the actual warm-up, the audience should never be able to see or hear it.
No.
Because I think it ruins the professionalism of, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
If they can see or hear a warm-up, there's not that surprise when you come on stage or when you take the stage, because they already have some kind of exposure to you.
Yeah.
I've always wanted warm-ups to be away from the audience.
Plus, they sit in the audience and they're like, jeez, it sounds like a bunch of year 10s doing drama class in there. And time! You have been listening to Luke Allen is part of the Sexy Detectives. You can find their site at thesexydetective.com. It is now no longer Cyber Squat. Oh, I'm Dan Beeston. You can go to invisiblespiders.com, but I haven't updated it since the last time I pimped it. For news about Impro in Brisbane, go to impromafia.com. Thanks to David Peachy for our theme music. Hosting for And Time is irately provided by CivicNet Web Design.
She'd bought dinner and was looking forward to like a cuddling on the couch night tonight. I was like, see you later.
All right.
I'm recording a podcast.